broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March 4th in the year of our Lord, 2019, hour 2 at 2. Scott Bradley's not with us, ladies and gentlemen. Why, you ask? Well, because he's at the Utah State Capitol testifying against a con against a convention of the states. It's disaster. It'll upend and destroy everything we hold sacred and hold dear, folks. Anyway, Scott will chime in if he can today. If not, we'll get an update on how it all goes tomorrow. But he did report live last hour just for a couple of minutes for the Capitol telling us what was going on. We're in the middle of playing sections of Donald Trump's incredible speech to CPAC over the weekend. Two-hour speech, longest speech the president's ever given, from what I understand. Just a lot of great stuff in it. There's some concerns I have. I'll highlight those in a minute. But there's way more that I like than I dislike. I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, Donald Trump speaks out right here with some interesting commentary.
But while we're making great strides, and our country is doing as well and maybe in many ways better than it's ever done before, Democrat lawmakers are now embracing socialism. They want to replace individual rights with total government domination. Just this week, more than 100 Democrats in Congress signed up for a socialist takeover of American health care. Their radical government-run plan, if you call it that, would lead to colossal tax increases, increases like you've never seen before, and take away private coverage from over 180 million Americans. And we have some great private coverage, and we've initiated some incredible plans, like the new cooperative plan, where you get better insurance than Obamacare for a fraction of the cost. But perhaps nothing is more extreme than the Democrats' plan to completely take over American energy and completely destroy America's economy through their new $100 trillion Green New Deal. Under the Green New Deal, which somebody described as a high school term paper written by a poor student. It's true. It's true. Who would believe it? It's so bad. But I'll be honest with you, folks. I said, you know, it's Saturday morning. I said, Matt, should we do a little more, like, spend time? He said, yeah, would you do that? By the way, everybody okay? I haven't seen anybody leaving. I haven't seen anybody. I know one thing. If Mark Levin gets up and leaves, I'll finish very quickly, because then I know. But I haven't seen anyone leaving. Nobody's left. I watch those doors. Because one time the press said, people left. Yeah, you know where they went to? The bathroom, and then they came back. Two people. They showed two empty seats in the stadium.
That's all true. They mocked the president, but you know what?
A certain fake news deal.
Now, I wish Donald would use real news people.
Completely abolish the American oil, natural gas.
All right, listen to this.
New deal would completely abolish the American oil, natural gas, coal, and nuclear power industries, of which we're now the leader in the world. We're the biggest now in the world because of moves that I've made. Happened over the last 2 years, by the way. And we're trying to speed up pipelines in Texas, which would have taken 15 years. We think we're almost very close to getting them approved. When that happens, we'll go probably another 30-40%. We need pipeline approval. We're going to have it very quickly. It would have taken...
Yeah, he's right. It would have taken a long time to get.
Their plan would remove every gas-powered car from American roads. Oh, that's not so bad. They want you to have one car instead of two. And it should be electric, okay? So tell people, no more cars. No more cars. I think the auto industry is not going to do too well under this plan. What do you think, Meadows? How's this? Will the auto industry be good? I don't think so. It's not looking good. I think maybe you're going to see some bad stock prices if that passes. It would end air travel. But you'll get on a train. Don't worry about it. You just have to cross off about 95% of the world. And it would force the destruction or renovation of virtually every existing structure in the United States. New York City would have to rip down buildings and rebuild them again. I don't think so. This is the craziest plan. And yet I see senators that are there for 20 years, white hair. See, I don't have white hair.
See, he does well. He's an incredible gifted speaker. There's no question about it.
Now, I see these white hairs, longtime senators, standing behind this young woman. And she's ranting and raving like a lunatic. And these senators, yes, I agree with this. Yes, I agree. The crazy female senator from the state of Ohio. The state of Hawaii, right? She's like a crazed person. What she said about men is so bad.
Now, here's what's a little bit comical. They act like Donald's confused, like, oh, my gosh, he doesn't even know who he's talking about. We thought he was talking about Ocasio-Cortez, and now, wait a minute, Ohio, and then, wait a minute, Hawaii? Man, the poor president's confused. No, he managed to politely not name any of them and slam all three of them.
What she said about men is so bad. But she's standing in the hallway. And she didn't know too much about the plan because she's, you know, she can't understand that plan. Which probably makes her smart, actually. Now, this is the senator from Hawaii, and they're saying to her, what do you think? Well, I don't know how people are going to get to Hawaii, but I'm in favor of the plan. I don't get it. So she's in favor of the plan. But you won't be able to get to... Well, we can take boats, I guess. We'll go back to boats. This is the new Democrat platform for the... And I don't want to talk them out of it. I don't. This is a killer. I got to get off this subject. I want them to embrace this plan. I want them to go and sell this plan. I just want to be the Republican that runs against them. Could that be?
It's pretty comical, actually. Big, long applause. Got to skip that.
This speech should have been delivered 1 year from now, not now, damn it. Because they're going to grip together. They're going to say, you know, this guy's really laying for us. I should have saved the Pocahontas thing for another year. Because I've destroyed her political career, and now I won't get a chance to run against her, and I would have loved it. We got to, you know, I don't want to knock out all of the good stuff and end up with somebody that's actually got talent. That would be terrible. So I do like the Green New Deal. I respect it greatly. It should be part of the dialogue of the next election.
Big long.
Tremendous promise and tremendous potential for the future of our country. Socialism is not about the environment. It's not about justice. It's not about virtue. Socialism is about only one thing. It's called power for the ruling class. That's what it is. Look at what's happening in Venezuela and so many other places. All of us are here today because we know that the future does not belong to those who believe in socialism. And I heard yesterday a great speech from our Vice President Mike Pence talking about this very subject and talking about it beautifully. Those who believe in freedom, I have said it before and I'll say it again, America will never be a socialist country.
See, and that's where I start to take a little bit of opposition to what President Trump is saying. We are, by and large, a socialist country right now. I don't know if he's aware of that, but big time, we've embraced socialism like no other. See, then they give the big old chant. I don't like that, you know,
young
necessarily.
Americans. I love young Americans. Speaking of young Americans, Candace, stand up.
Anyway, he does a good job with that. He's a great speaker, Kurt. Let's be honest. Again, there's some things I'm concerned about what he said, but by and large, it was an incredible speech. He's a talented speaker. No doubt about it. Anything to comment on that so far, Kurt?
Well, you know, he mentions that, I don't remember where it is, it's probably later, but basically he's getting ready to go there, and, you know, he did already mention how he talked to the head of the CPAC thing and said, hey, you know, it's Saturday morning, you want me to talk a little bit more about different stuff or whatever, and he's like, yeah, go ahead, you know, just let them have it, whatever you want. And you know, earlier or later, he brings up the fact that he didn't really have it all written up or whatever. He likes to kind of go and see what, you know, what's up and what to bring up, you know. And
that's right.
And he talks about his buddy who, you know, the guy, he says he's a killer, but what he means is he's great in deals and that kind of stuff. And he says how his buddy gets, you know, all sweaty and, you know, it like a room with nine people listening, he just kind of, you know, can't handle it. And
what he's saying is his friend just doesn't know how to speak, can't speak and can't, yeah, you know, deal with the public, but he's really smart behind the scenes. And Donald Trump and says it's easy to work with the people. And yeah, it is a talent the president has. There's no doubt about it. Quick pause. We got a couple more sound bites to play from this speech. I'm picking out the best parts that I could find. We'll do it in seconds. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, so President Trump manages to name none of these belligerent women, but he slams several of them all at once. They say he doesn't know what he's talking about, but he knows full well what he's talking about. Anyway, it's kind of interesting, though. Ocasio-Cortez is the author of this plan that Donald mocks, this great deal plan. And Donald said there'll be no airplanes and stuff if you agree with her plan. And then what the mainstream press does is come back and lies, and they say, well, it's not in the plan. What they fail to admit is that on her own website, it had those details in the plan. And then they said it was an inadvertent mistake to release that, and they took it out of the plan. So the question really comes down to who's telling the truth. Well, factually, it's not in the plan. Why? Because it was on her website, and we caught them at it and made such a big deal of it, they took it out of the plan. And so now you got to say, well, was it in the plan? Was it an inadvertent error like they're claiming, and it shouldn't have been there? They're so sorry it's not really in the plan. You know, what's the real deal? And I'm telling you, President Trump's right when he says these people are nuts. and they want to change your life so drastically. But it applies to us, not to them. Ocasio-Cortez would be able to just fly around, no problem. Well, you couldn't get on an airplane, okay? I mean, it's just crazy. So they're missing the point that President Trump is highlighting. All right, President Trump continues in his speech here. Here's another little clip that I found fascinating.
Today, I'm proud to announce that I will be very soon signing an executive order requiring colleges and universities to support free speech if they want federal research
All right, so free speech, he's advocating for free speech. I like that. But I got a problem with what he's talking about, Kurt. Big old long applause, then chants, waste of time.
And we give it to them by the billions. They've got to allow people like Hayden and many other great young people and old people to speak. Free speech. Very costly. That'll be signed very soon.
Okay, Kurt, what do you think of that? An executive order to mandate free speech.
Well, the key thing he's saying here is that and we've seen this a lot, and many of these universities are basically taken over by, you mentioned the socialism thing. I believe that that's one of the heartbeats or the, main places that socialism gets promoted in the government schools, and the universities are typically government schools, in my opinion, simply because, they say, oh, well, it's private or whatever, and yet much of their money is coming in one way or the other, right, from the federal government with all these grants and aids and et cetera. And there's a boatload of research money they get too, and so much of it is just, we're giving them money, and then we, kind of like with the trade deals, we don't get a fair deal back. So, in other words,
that's right.
They don't honestly keep things like freedom of speech. They let people like, all their pals, the Clintons and the Obamas, et cetera, get a big old bunches of money, and yet, and they can speak anytime they want, any venue they want, and then somebody like Ann Coulter or the president's friends or whatever are just like, can't have you because it's too dangerous, or there's some other reason they give. But the bottom line is, I wish he would have just said, look, we're going to quit handing out federal money to anybody, whether it's in education or in all these places. We found out, just like I was looking at the 1888 tariff thing, I found out that, hey, they didn't used to hand all this money out to universities and things, and we're going to quit doing it too,
Yeah, and that's my kind of criticism. I understand his point that we need free speech, and I agree with him, and that it's being obliterated by government and funded by our tax dollars, and, I appreciate the fact that he wants to stop that. I get it, and I don't disagree with the wanting to stop it. I'm just not so sure that we need an executive order to battle for our free speech. We have what's called the First Amendment already. And what we really need to do is shut off the government funding and shut down the education department. That's what Republicans, said they were going to do forever and ever and ever. And so this is an example where, like I said, I have some of my concerns about what President Trump, is doing and said. It's like a lot of the conservative talk show hosts, Kurt. They just never go far enough to get the job done.
Well, a lot of good, and they bring up a lot of good. He talks about the, 30,000 pages of regulations that they got rid of, something
like
that.
Yeah, that's
great. And he should take, at least in my opinion, take the same approach here and say, look, with this executive order, we're going to get rid of all these other executive orders because basically they shouldn't even be around.
Yeah, you're right.
They're the president making himself into a king, and our country's not supposed to be like that. So we're going to just wipe the slate clean and get rid of all these, unconstitutional actions. There's just so much to be done. But
yeah, that's right.
Hey, then we get focused on something that's maybe impossible to get done at this time.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But it's worth a try. And we use this time to encourage the president. We're not here to attack him. We're here to say, you know what? You're bringing up a lot of great points, sir. But here's how we can help you go further and do more. And that's all we're saying here. All right, so President Trump then talks about immigration quite a bit, and here's what he says.
Mission of those who can support themselves financially and contribute. We want people that can help themselves, that can support themselves. We have people coming in. We support them from the day they come in till the day they die. We can't do that as a country. We can't afford to do that as a country.
He's right as rain on that.
On immigration and so many other issues. Democrat lawmakers have totally abandoned the American mainstream. But that's going to be good for us in 2020.
But see, that's the problem. A lot of Republican lawmakers are in the same boat. Look, Donald Trump's pointing out we can't take care of people from womb to tomb. He's spot on. But I don't see anybody scaling it back. I really don't, except for President Trump's trying to. But his own party betrays him.
They're embracing open borders, socialism, and extreme late-term abortion.
And that's the Republicans and the Democrat swamp monsters.
Weeks ago, lawmakers in New York cheered as they passed legislation to allow babies to be ripped from the womb of their mother, right up to the very moment of death. Then, in an act and a statement, the likes of which I don't think I've ever heard, in Virginia, the governor, a Democrat, stated that he would allow babies to be born outside. He would wrap them. He would take care of them. And then he'll talk to the mother and the father as to what to be done. And if they didn't want the child, who is now outside of the womb, long outside of the womb, they will execute the baby after birth.
That's the toughest talk I've ever heard from a president of the United States in my whole life, and he's spot on.
They will execute the baby after birth. And that's one many people have never even heard of or thought about.
And this is an example where are all the other presidents that are supposedly the Republicans? Where are the Republicans to stand up and highlight this and make this a big, big issue?
This is a radical agenda by the Democrats.
It's really a radical agenda by the swamp, though. The Republicans, hey, they didn't pass any pro-life efforts while we were there. In fact, they stood against President Trump at every turn, didn't they?
And when you put something up, as was just put up before the Senate, everybody on the Democrat side votes for it. By the way, I have to say one thing. They're lousy politicians, and they have lousy policy. They have policy I could never sell if I wanted to. But, they always stick together, and the Republicans don't remember that.
Now, again, he's got another thing right, Kurt, and this is one of the things that you and I have focused on forever. The conservatives can't stay together. They also can't put their money where their mouth is. The liberals, or the whatever you want to say, the Democrat, whatever term you want, the socialists, they're Nazis. Socialism and Nazism are the same thing, okay? That's what they're for, but they stick together. He's right on that. And we don't stand together enough, or else we would have pro-life legislation passed, Kurt.
They always stick together. They vote in blocks. They have 47. We had a tremendous victory. We were given no credit. I can't go and campaign for all of the people in the House. Too many. And guys like Meadows wins by so many points, he doesn't need any help. He doesn't need. I said, Mark, you need any help? No, I'm okay. He'll win by 30, 35. They're okay. These guys, you know, a funny thing? The ones that love Trump, the ones that are really the Trumpers, like Meadows, Jordan, Gates, so many of them. I don't want to, I get myself. I could just name them so many. They're the ones that win without, I mean, it's like they don't even have an election. It's the ones that sort of, they're a little shy about embracing what we're all about. They get clobbered. They get clobbered. Take a look.
All right. When we come back, I'll play the final little clip I have. I'm not saying I covered the whole speech perfectly. I'm doing the best I can in the time we have. Quick pause. Sam and Kurt, President Trump on your radio. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. He was speaking at CPAC for over 2 hours. Uncensored Trump, huh?
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You- USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At least 23 people killed when two tornadoes touched down in Lee County, Alabama, Sunday. The youngest victim, 6 years old. The Lee County Sheriff says the damage is catastrophic.
It looks almost as if someone took a giant knife and just scraped the ground. There are slabs where homes formerly stood. There are debris everywhere.
The death toll from those tornadoes expected to rise as officials say a number of people are still missing. Another Democrat joining the race for the White House, former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, jumps into the fray today, saying in a video,
"I'm running for president because we need dreamers in Washington, but we also need to get things done."
Teachers in Oakland, California, back in the classrooms after voting to accept a tentative contract deal that includes an 11% raise and a one-time 3% bonus. And this is USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
A pretrial hearing for actor Kevin Spacey is set for today in Massachusetts, but Spacey's not required to be there. The Oscar-winning actor pleading not guilty to sexual assault charges in January after being accused of groping an 18-year-old busboy at a restaurant on Nantucket in 2016. The president's former fixer will return to give yet more testimony to lawmakers on Capitol Hill this week. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
Michael Cohen resumes his closed-door testimony before the House Intelligence Committee on Wednesday. This will be Cohen's fourth day of questioning before both House and Senate committees. His testimony so far has led members of Congress to pursue other witnesses from the Trump Organization, including Felix Sater. Cohen named him during his open testimony before the House Oversight Committee, saying that he worked with him on efforts to build a Trump property in Moscow. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Donald Trump's incredible speech before CPAC. And again, I got concerns about some of it, folks. You know, he talked about war and stuff like that. He talked about getting out of wars. And, you know, there's a lot of good things that President Trump talks about, but yet, at the end of the day, a lot of them don't come to fruition. And in the past, I've been pretty critical of the president about that, but I'm starting to kind of have a little bit of a different attitude about that, ladies and gentlemen, where I'm kind of saying, you know, hey, what if the president really means the best that he can, but he can't do it alone? And since the Democrats are against him and the Republicans aren't really for him, how do you get a lot of your initiatives done? I mean, you're just shut down at every turn. I'll give you an example. He does one thing in 56 lawsuits. Then what do you do? It's crazy, and so I got to defend President Trump a little bit more, but he ends his speech like this.
People that weren't very sick would be dead by the time they saw a doctor 6 weeks later.
So he's trashing healthcare.
These great veterans, if there's a big wait, they go outside, they go to a local doctor, we pay the bills, they get better, everybody's happy, and we actually save a lot of money, if you can believe it. So I got that approved after 44 years of being unable to get it approved. For our veterans, we love our veterans.
Okay, did you know he did that for the veterans? You don't hear about a lot of the good that he does, do you?
And Justin, finishing up, as you know, I just returned from Vietnam, where I had very productive meetings with Chairman Kim Jong-un. Very productive. We get along. We've developed a good relationship. Very good. and made great historic progress.
And the mainstream press is just telling you how it's a failure, and he's pitching nothing different than happened before. But look, I'd rather have more negotiations and more discussions with these people than less. I'll tell you that right now. The diplomatic discussions President Trump is working on are great. Now, we'll see what happens over time, but I'm just saying, hey, it's better to meet and discuss than have a freeze, right?
And I do get a kick out of all these people in previous administrations. Donald Trump should not, under any circumstances, be doing this or that. You know, they tell me how to negotiate. These guys died. One administration gave billions of dollars to him and got nothing. And we haven't given him anything yet. I look forward to maybe doing something at some point. But I know one thing, I'm going to get other countries to give. Maybe not us, but I'm going to get other countries to give. And if it all works out, if it all works out. But I had to walk. Because every once in a while, you have to walk. Because the deal wasn't a deal that was acceptable to me. I don't like these deals that politicians make. They make a deal just for the sake of doing it. I don't want to do that. I want to make a deal that either works or let's not make it.
See,
but
he's right on.
What we have done is we have no testing, no missiles going up, no rockets going up, no nuclear testing. We got our great people back. We got our great, great people. And that includes our beautiful, beautiful Otto. Otto Warmbier, whose parents I've gotten to know, who's incredible. And I'm in such a horrible position because in one way, I have to negotiate. In the other way, I love Mr. and Mrs. Warmbier, and I love Otto. And it's a very, very delicate balance. He was a special young man, and to see what happened was so bad.
He's right about all that. Anyway, I bring that up because, again,
that in the last days of the Obama administration, rockets were flying all over the place. Nuclear testing was going on. Mountains were being, these are big mountains. They were being shoved over 3-4 inches. People thought it was massive earthquakes, then they found out, no, that was nuclear weapons, nuclear testing. So much. We're getting the remains back of a lot of our soldiers from many, many years ago.
All right, he's talking about some pretty good stuff.
I really think what we're doing there is very important. But we actually had a walk, but I think we had a very good meeting.
All right, anyway, he's going on about that.
That's not what happened there. So already I think we're negotiating. And I'll tell you this. North Korea has an incredible, brilliant economic future if they make a deal. But they don't have any economic future if they have nuclear weapons. It's really a bad thing for them. So we'll see how it all goes. But I think it's going well. I think we learned a lot over the last couple of days. And again, the relationship seems to be very, very strong. And that's an important thing, especially when we're dealing with this kind of a situation. Our leaders apologized for America. You saw that? Would you like to apologize? No, I'm not apologizing.
See, he's right. We don't need to apologize.
You have a president who is standing up for America after decades of building up foreign nations. We are finally building up our nation, and we are doing it with American hands, American grit, and with beautiful, beautiful American steel. We are fighting to ensure that every young American inherits the same blessings and the same boundless opportunity that our ancestors fought to secure with all of their heart, might, and soul. Now more than ever, we need the proud men and women of CPAC. And I want to thank everybody here because it is incredible. Your organization is incredible. Matt and Mercedes, incredible. You're energized, you mobilized, and you're engaged. We need your voice. We need your patriotism. We need your commitment. We need your incredible spirit. On the 4th of July, we are having in Washington, D.C., a great tribute to America. I hope you can all come. 4th of July, keep it open. We want to bring millions of people into the city, and we want people to come who love our country. Those are the people we want. The 4th of July. A salute to America. Now is-
is the time to embrace the promise of our history. Now is the time to defend our American legacy. And now is the time to seize our glorious destiny. And by the way, I'm watching those doors. Not one person's left, and I've been up here a long time. I said, Matt, is that okay? He said, I love it. Don't leave. But not one person. So if you hear tomorrow when they read, people left. Nobody left early. There hasn't been one person that's left. But when you read it, you just say, fake news. This magnificent nation will always be the home of those who cherish life, who love liberty, and who defend the sacred rights given to us by Almighty God. Together we are one people, one family, and one nation, forever united behind one great American flag. Thank you to everybody in this room and to all of the other rooms all over the campus and all over the country. We're hooked in all over the country. Thank you very much. I want to thank CPAC. What a job they've done. What a job Matt Schlapp and his family have done in such a short period of time in bringing this to a level like it's never been before. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much.
All right, there it is. There's a lot to like about his speech, Kurt. There's, again, like I say, there's some concerns I have, but for the most part, very well done. And CPAC hasn't always been friends of President Trump. A lot of the CPACers were not really favorite or, you know, interested in Trump. And they've kind of come to the table now to where they're a lot more for Trump than they used to be, Kurt. So that's
yeah, there's a whole bunch of that never Trumper kind of idea that was going on there for a long time. And that's simply because you have, you had a lot of people that were falling for the thing that got pushed for a long time about him, being a Russian operative and all that stuff. So
that's
they figured
right.
They'd just get rid of him. And so then if somebody had already caught on and jumped, say from Cruz or from somebody else, then they would have looked bad. And that's what happens so many times. These guys are typically sticking their finger in the wind, see what happens. And the president didn't do that, Sam.
Yeah, that's right. And oftentimes, too, you look at Donald's past, and he was a playboy there, some, and he hasn't always made wise choices and stuff like that. But again, are you going to hold that against him forever? He's the most pro-life president in history in my lifetime, Kurt. So
yeah.
The point is people can change and God can improve people.
For that.
We've got to understand some of those things, and I'm not defending the mistakes Donald's made. I am defending that he's listening to his wife more than he ever has. I am defending that he's more pro-life than he's ever been. He's more pro-life than any president in my lifetime. I am defending those things. And CPAC gave Mike Pence a standing ovation. Mike Pence says we'll never be a socialist country. Again, I disagree with their narrative on that. We're already a socialist country. I wish we were not. I advocate for the jettisoning of the socialism in America and the return to constitutional principles. CPAC conservatives now embracing President Trump, though, and it's good to see.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
kosher, certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosertified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
All right, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby breaking down what happened at CPAC over the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. We interviewed one of the speakers to CPAC on Thursday with National Taxpayers Union. She did a phenomenal job as well. President Trump did a phenomenal job. Now Michelle Malkin speaking as well, and here's what she had to say.
Our enemies are both foreign and domestic. Inside our already flimsily defended borders, we are not at peace. Or rather, the radical left is not at peace with us. From the comfort of TV green rooms and beltway back rooms and corporate board rooms and conference ballrooms, it may not look like civil war is imminent, but threats and outright violence against you, ordinary law-abiding people, are now regularized features, not just random bugs of political life in these disunited states. You all know who are plugged in and on the ground that college students are being punched, elderly citizens are being harassed, MAGA hat wearers are being kicked off planes and assaulted in school hallways and restaurants, conservative speakers are being mobbed and Molotov cocktails, ICE agents and their families are being targeted, pro-lifers are being kicked and menaced, pro-Trump anti-jihad moms on social media are being monitored and doxxed. The madness is beyond parody. Last week, you all saw this. Social justice media warriors whipped up hysteria over a Mar-a-Lago pastry chef over her Instagram posts. Where are the sanctuary spaces for law-abiding conservatives who simply want to exercise their rights to free speech and peaceable assembly?
She's spot on, ladies and gentlemen.
The divide in this country is between decent people who stand up for America and dastardly people who want to bring America to its knees. We certainly should make common cause with others across the aisle who share our values, but we should never rush to embrace those whose fundamental aim is to smear and destroy us all. That is suicidal.
Anyway, there you go. Great points that she's got, Kurt. She's bringing up something critical, and I pray we don't have a civil war in America, but I'm predicting that there's some points to this that we cannot ignore that she's wisely making. NYPD, for example, says MS-13 gangs now planning to target off-duty cops even at their homes, Kurt. So Donald Trump brings up these gangs and says how horrible they are, and he's right as rain. And now these gangs, even according to the most liberal NYPD, is saying that these gangs are literally starting to attack and go after off-duty police officers at their homes, Kurt.
Well, and I've seen some other reports. I mean, they you see them from the border where they basically, the cartels take out the leaders that are opposing them, that don't support them or whatever. And I think that's been happening for quite some time in our bigger cities, especially. And you know, you got to be quite concerned if you're a New York policeman or whatever, and you're thinking, hey, I'm going to go after the MS-13 guys, and you find out that, hey, they know where you live, they know your family or whatever. At least in a battle, in a war, there's a lot of early kind of small fighting before there's big fighting, I think. And we see that even in these instances where, you know, people with a Make America Great Again hat or, you know, hit or beat or whatever, you know, I think we're seeing that kind of thing. Not a full-blown civil war in America today.
Yeah, you're right, and I pray we don't have them, but I'm just telling you, the liberals are ratcheting it up, and if Donald Trump wins in 2020 or we have a conservative landslide in 2020, these people will, you think their unhinged behavior is something to speak of, you watch it just go out of control. In fact, the New York Times and mainstream organizations mock Donald Trump because he said people are coming across our borders and they're rapists and everything else. And now you see that literally MS-13 gangs, primarily made up of illegals, attacking police officers that are off duty at their homes in New York City. Well, it gets worse now. The New York Times admitting in this headline, braving heat and coyotes to be raped at the border. And the New York Times writes a big old article about this, and they tell about these women. They talk about in July, a 23-year-old Honduran woman told authorities that she was sexually assaulted in a bedroom closet by a smuggler that helped her. And anyway, the story goes on and on and on. So what I find interesting about this is these women are telling their tale about how they've been raped and abused and turned into sex slaves. She said, my feet were tied up. I would look at him and he had a gun. And it goes on and on and on. Now, here's what I find interesting. The New York Times said nothing, right? Said nothing when the press was attacking President Trump, saying there's rapists that come across the border. And now we have more and more evidence, even in the New York Times documenting it, Kurt. It's like, wow.
Yeah, but they're not going to point that out, Sam, are they?
Well, they did the New York Times.
But what I mean is they're not going to point out, they're not going to say, look, the president said there was all this raping and pillaging and all these bad guys coming, and now here's the facts, we're uncovering it. You know, they don't put those two things together. They, at least I don't see them doing it, because what it means most of the time is they got it wrong before, and they weren't accurate. And, you know, they don't want to come off supporting him because...
I think you're exactly right. But you know what? If they're honest in the news, they would admit, they would say, listen, stories are coming out where the president's, you know, mentioning this is true. They just kind of made it sound like, oh, Donald thinks everybody's a rapist. If you have a dark skin, you're a rapist. He's a racist and he's lying. And now we realize that, look, you got these illegals going after police officers in New York who are off duty at their homes, folks. And you literally have stories in the New York Times documenting the rape mentality and the rape reality that President Trump spoke of. It says, braving heat and coyotes to be raped at the border. New York Times writes it in their national desk today.
And Sam, how many people do you think, if they're asked what's a coyote, are going to understand that?
Well, they're not, but a coyote basically is a people runner.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is I don't think there's been enough stories about that. And
your point's well taken.
You know, about our buddy, the guys at Operation Underground Railroad and all that kind of stuff. I mean, if you really put the light on all that stuff, then what it does is it enhances the point that, hey, we've got to secure that border for the drugs, for the smuggling, for, you know, all the illegal activity and all the havoc that happens both on the border and because there is no real secure border.
You're right about that. Now, Rand Paul, I guess, is going to go against President Trump on this national emergency thing, Kurt. Did you see this?
Yeah, and at least from what I can tell, Justin Amash is as well, and I think they're on solid ground there. And the fact is, I believe that the president, with all the money for the military that's already been appropriated, there's plenty of. I mean, what place should we have the military doing more than defending our own country? And I just don't see any bigger use for it than right there. And there's certainly money in that that, you know, could be used as like $750 billion in that budget. You know, I think there's
so
plenty
of
money right there.
Would you stand against President Trump and would you block the emergency declaration?
Well, the phrase, at least I would have said, look, we've got an emergency here, and for the president to say we've got an emergency declaration, you know, and saying, look, the Congress gave this power back in the 70s, and all these other presidents have used it. I don't think the president's on unfirm ground when he says all that. What you've got is guys like Rand Paul and Justin Amash pointing out that the Congress should have never done that in the first place, and the president shouldn't be making themselves like a king. So I think those are all good points there. I don't see any real problem there. I just see that these guys are standing up for what's right, and folks are needing to learn about why those things are happening.
Yeah, and this goes against, or this goes kind of the discussion, a lot of what we have, Kurt, about teaching to the ideal, but living in the real. I think Rand and some of these people's points in the ideal are spot on. I think in the real, though, I don't want to go along with the congressional idea that they can give power they don't have. But I also want to say I do believe we have an emergency at the border. And so it's kind of a difficult thing, you know, how do you live in the, you know, teach to the ideal, live in the real. And there's kind of a balance there. So I appreciate they'll make their statements. What it's going to do is force a presidential veto, though, probably. Time will tell.
Well,
anyway.
And that's all, at least in my opinion, all an exercise in how that whole thing's supposed to work. Our kind of government is not supposed to just smoothly run everything right through, you know, like a king would.
Yeah, you're
our
right.
Our kind is supposed to just hold up stuff unless it's just a really good idea. It's supposed to have opposition and holding up, you know. So,
all right, final story of the hour.
About, yeah.
Texas sued. Kurt?
Let's see. Texas sued. I'm trying to remember which one.
Yes, election worker called the cops, man, because somebody was wearing a mega hat, or a MAGA hat, Make America Great Again hat there, Curtin.
Yeah.
You got to sue over that. See what I mean by there's just lawsuits everywhere? You can't even wear a hat and you have your own free choice to wear a hat. Now, if you're wearing a vagina hat, it'd be fine, I'm sure. But a Make America Great Again hat, oh, no, sir. It's just crazy.
Well, you know, they got these rules that say, you know, you can't have signs by the voting and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, isn't it amazing? You could pretty much have all this freedom of speech. You know, you could have a shirt with naked people on it or something like that. And you say that's speech, or you have people dancing around without their clothes and they say that's freedom of speech. And then somebody wears a hat and we got to go to, you know, the lawsuit, you know. Yeah, I guess this lawsuit, by the way, asked for nominal damages of $1, along with attorney's fees and costs. Well, that'll add up to a lot more than that. But anyway, it's interesting, isn't it?
Well, it just goes to show, I mean, you know, hey, there's just a double standard, folks. That's the point.
Yep.
And there's a reality check. And I agree with Rand Paul that, you know what, we don't need a declaration. The president should feel free to defend the border. But in this situation where Congress is gridlocked, where we have dishonest money everywhere, where, you know, what do you expect the president to do? So I think when the good part about this is it's bringing up the ability to discuss how things ought to be. We teach to the ideal. We live in the real. How do Americans navigate all that stuff? And this gives us the chance to break it all down for you and to advocate for the Constitution and to advocate for, hey, how do we return to it? Even if it's not a perfect plan sometimes, how do we move the needle towards liberty, even incrementally, a little bit at a time? And sometimes it's messy. Politics is messy, folks. And sometimes you got to get the room a little more messy before you clean it up, right? And so a lot of these discussions are just fantastic. All right. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully that was educational and entertaining. President Trump is a great speaker. You got to give him that. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.